Hello and welcome to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. As always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you and to bring you the fourth season of this podcast, focusing on your mental health and well-being. In this, the second part of the season, we'll be talking to people who've turned their passion into their businesses and careers. We'll be asking them how they keep physically and mentally well and what challenges they have faced to get where they are. So be prepared to be inspired, informed, motivated, and entertained for the next hour as we talk about mental health and mindfulness, play some music, and meditate together. My guest today has had an illustrious career as a teacher, social worker, and women's activist, which began in the mid-50s when she started teaching. In 1994, she became chairperson of Hindu Council, actively establishing women's empowerment programs and initiating charitable activities. As the British Asian correspondent for the British High Commission, she petitioned the UK government to give 8,000 people full British citizenship, and in the process, getting a law changed that helped thousands of people attain settlement rights in the UK. She has been instrumental in establishing the Hindu religious education syllabus in Kenya, and through her Karuna Charitable Trust, she has established education institutions, school feeding programs, and youth and women's empowerment programs. In 1994, she was awarded an MBE for her services to the Asian community in Kenya. She describes herself as honest, frank, and caring. Usha Shah, welcome to Mindfulness Music and More. Hi.
Hello.
I think I got it by surprise because I called her Usha Shah. And actually, I'm just going to tell you now.
Yes, I'm saying, who is that? No, okay.
Usha is my aunt, but I actually call her Mom. And Mom, welcome.
Yes, I'm so happy because I've never done anything like this before. This is the first time that somebody is interviewing me. But when it was KBC, I used to present a program, half an hour program, about how to live life long time back. So it brings such beautiful memories. My God. Thanks, Shalu. Thanks, Capital FM. God, I'm happy to be here.
So how does it feel being interviewed instead of presenting? And your daughter being the presenter.
Exciting. Okay. Exciting. Unbelievable. Fantastic. And I'm so glad to see you, Shalu, doing all these things. Making people think. Making people understand. Making people go towards a good life. Meditation, etc., etc. I think you are doing good.
Oh, thanks, Mom. Thank you. So, Mom is, and I'm going to call her Mom throughout the show, so listeners, I'm sure you'll understand, but her name is Usha. And Mom, you have been instrumental in a lot of things in Kenya. You've worked in some really interesting positions, Hindu Council being one of them. But you started your career as a teacher. Mm. When and where did you start teaching?
I started teaching in 1954. In Vishaushal Primary School. I was just barely 17. I worked there for 20 years. Became the deputy headmistress when I retired for personal reasons. But that was a golden period in my life because as a teacher, when you are talking, teaching, advising, punishing the children, you get to know that children are, they give you unconditional love. You punish a child today and tomorrow that child comes and offers you a rose. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. They taught me how to love unconditionally. And I think I motivated many, many people to do what they should do in life. By the way, at that time, you could chop a person.
Now you can't.
Now you can't. That is a shame. Because discipline is very important in a person's life, whether a child or an adult or an old person. If you don't have discipline in your life, then you are just going around doing nothing. So a slap doesn't mean much. But in my time, when I slapped the child and he went home and told his father, the father slapped him back.
Oh, gosh. Mom, so that is really controversial. And I don't know if listeners know this, but Mom and I do sometimes a Mom and Me on IGTV. And Mom gets very controversial sometimes. Do you think that slapping a child today is okay?
Of course. I mean, it is not murdering a child. It is not killing a child. All these psychologists, you know, give you a guilt thing. You hit a child and it gives a trauma. What rubbish. You know, parents do that at homes when the child doesn't, you know, do it. I mean, it's a wrong thing to say corporal punishment ad hoc is wrong. It isn't. It has to be applied very, very wisely.
Okay.
And at correct times. Okay. I mean, I never went to school by saying, oh, I'm going to hit that child. I never did it. And I know I'll never do it like that. But this is it. Corporal punishment has got. And I'll tell you, even Almighty Supreme Being gives you corporal punishment. When you are drunk and you fall into a ditch, that's corporal punishment by God. So are you going to have a law saying you can't fall into a
ditch? So what you're saying is don't just hit a child for the sake of hitting a child, but if you hit a child, give them a little smack or something, as long as it's warranted and at the time.
Yes, that you, okay. Exactly.
Okay. So, Mom, you then became a social worker.
Yeah.
And you worked in the Hindu Council for many years. Tell me a little bit about that time.
Okay. I resigned in 1974.
Okay.
And then I was at a loose end. And then Mr. Dedia came to me and said they needed a PRO in the Hindu Council of Kenya. So I went. And there I started working as an officer. I was appointed as a British Asian correspondent, a bridge between the people and the British High Commission. And I used to take so many problems of documentation, settlement, vouchers, etc. I used to go to the Bruce House so many times a week. But that is what taught me that it is good to speak up. It is right to speak up. If you are in the right, You have to demand your rights. You have to fight for your rights. If you don't, and if you keep quiet, like these days we are keeping quiet about so many things which are going wrong, it is wrong. It is wrong not to say what. And you have to take action. And that's what I did. You know, I used to approach British High Commission officers with people wanting to go and settle in England. They wanted this document, that document. I think there were many, many people who could go to settle in England because of what I did.
But you changed the law. And there was a law that British overseas citizens couldn't get citizenship.
That's right.
And because of the work you did, they got citizenship.
Right.
So today a lot of people will, when you go to England, they throw parties for you.
No.
Yes, they do. I know they do.
They do, but most of the people, you know, once you've done something, they forget. And I'm okay with it. I don't want to be reminded what I've done. That's why when you said, Usha Shah, I said, oh, who is this? So what I'm saying is, I don't want to remind them of what I did for people, you know. God was there. He placed me in a situation where I could, I did. That's it.
Okay, that's very modest, Mom. But I think we all know that changing a law in the UK and getting 8,000 people citizenship is a big deal. Mm. And you then were awarded an MBE, which we'll talk about when we come back. Okay. But first of all, I want to go to your first song choice, which is Jambo, Jambo Bwana.
Yeah.
Why have you chosen this song?
Jambo. Jambo Bwana, habari gani, mzuri sana. That word mzuri is instrumental because I want everybody to greet one another and be happy, smile. Even when you are unhappy within, you smile and say, Jumbo. It makes a person perk up. And that's what I do in my car. You know, I keep my window open sometimes when I see people, you know, then I close. But I open my window and I say, hello, hello. And they say, oh, this mama seems to be mad. But at the same moment, they smile and give me Jumbo.
Okay, so that's the way you go. Okay, well, let's have a listen to a song. Surisana, wageni, mwakaribishwa, Kenya yetu, hakuna matata. Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. Today in the studio, we have my mom, Usha Shah, who has already caused controversy around child punishment. But let's talk now, Mom, about Karuna, which is a charitable trust that you started. When did you start Karuna and why?
Oh, I didn't start it. It was the wife of the then High Commissioner, Mr. Srinivasan, and his wife, Lekha Srinivasan. She had Karuna Charitable Trust in India and other places, America and so on. When she came here, she started it. And she was here for 2.5 years. And then when she left, they wanted me to be the chair. And I did. And it's now 18 years since I am a trustee and the chair.
What do you do? What does Karuna do?
Many things. But mainly, we have a school in Masare, Karuna Educational Center, where 250 plus children are studying from kindergarten to class 8. Karuna pays financial resources for rent and teachers and etc., etc. And there is a feeding program. The trust feeds children in Karuna Center, one overseers in Kangemi, one in St. Judas, Islay. So there are about 700 children being fed every school day. And this makes them come to school, immunity is increased, they come because food is there, they come. So attendance is better and so on. During COVID, the trusts also, with the help of donations from Germany, America, etc., gave food parcels to 500 families twice a month. And the last delivery is going to be in April.
Oh, fantastic. So you were able to help families who might have lost their jobs through COVID. Where do you get your donations? Is it mostly private donations that you get?
Yeah, I mean, donations are very welcome, as you know, because money, you can't do without money. Mm-hmm. And I do all this because people from overseas usually help, but there are also local local
donors,
people, donors who help. Mainly my family in the UK, my personal family. My personal family in America, friends of my husband who were business associates, they support. I wish, and it goes on. I mean, I can meet the expenses per year, but I wish our Kenyan businessmen, our Kenyan owners, financiers, bankers will come across and say, okay, Karuna, how much do you need? And they'll give me every year, let's say 100,000 shillings. I would really want that. I don't have that kind of support from our country, from our Kenya. I don't. And I wish people would say, okay, I want to donate 500 shillings. I'm happy. By the way, every cent that you donate to Karuna goes to charity work, because I don't have an office. My car is my office. My iPad is my computer. So there is no administrative cost whatsoever. I don't have an office, so no rent, etc. So each cent that you donate to Karuna goes to each child who receives it. And not one child. It's about the ones in the schools that I mentioned, plus Karuna also gives fees to, this year we gave fees to about 50 children from all over the country.
Wow, that's
so
incredible.
That, and university children, then there are children from secondary school and primary school. So all this needs money. Please, please come forward.
So that's really interesting. So even a small donation can go a long way. So please do reach out if you're interested in donating to Karuna Charitable Trust. Karuna, in fact, means compassion. We're going to move forward a little bit with some of the other work that you're interested in, which is very much about women's empowerment.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the kind of things you're interested in doing.
Okay. Women, I'm not a feminist because I know men are as important, perhaps not as important, but important as women. If you look at Nairobi these days and you are passing by, you will see women carrying kikapus on their heads, dishing out food, selling vegetables, etc. And when you see men, most of the men, they are playing cards.
Some of them.
They are sitting, doing nothing. They are just chatting around. Bloody head. Sorry.
It's okay. Carry on.
You know, these men, instead of sitting around doing nothing, should use their masculinity in digging a farm, sowing some seeds, growing something, doing something. They just sit around. I'm amazed. But look at the women. I know a Mama Boga, not one, more than one, who has put her children through university by selling vegetables. And can you show me one man who has done it?
Selling vegetables and put their child through.
So I really love women and their power and their tenacity and their wish to do things for their families. And I mean, a woman works in an office. She works whole day up to 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. She goes home. She doesn't sit around. She goes straight into the kitchen, starts the food and looks after her children. And what do men do? They come and I'm tired. Can I have a drink? May I have a beer? Sit in front of the television. And I have a lot of respect for men who don't do that.
Yeah, and do you think that's changing now? Do you think more modern men are taking their part, their being in a partnership? Do you think mom's laughing? I don't think she thinks that at all. No?
Nah.
You think, nah. We think women...
I don't think modern men is a bit egoistic, you know. He thinks he's something. He can't come into the kitchen. He doesn't know how to cook. I mean, I'm talking about my husband, you know. Such a nice man. I miss him. But he didn't know anything in the kitchen. If he had to go and find out sugar, he wouldn't be able to do it. But that was my generation.
But you have three sons, my cousin brothers, who are modern men. Have you brought them up to work in the kitchen and be modern men?
You can't make a person do things he doesn't want to do.
But surely it's the responsibility of mums to bring up their sons to be modern men and help in the kitchen, help with kids.
My boys do it. They clear the table. They bring out their... They do that. And I think they are very helpful. But I'm not very sure about other people. I can't talk about other men.
I'm pretty sure my brothers don't know how to cook. Any of them. Actually, Amit, that's probably the youngest.
They do. Okay. They do. Two of them do know how to cook. Three of them. They know how to cook.
Okay, that's a challenge to all three of them. I'm expecting dinner very soon. and it's hard because mom is such a good cook. So, mom, you make... this is completely going off topic before we go to the last bit that I want to talk about in this section. You have been making chapatis since the age of...
Seven.
So you must have made over a million chapatis in your lifetime. It's just a completely separate topic.
This is it, Shalu. This is it. You don't count what you are doing for your family. Because for your family, you do everything out of love for them. Because you want to see them happy. Because you want to see them fed. So I don't know, a million or whatever. I have never counted. But now that you have made me think about it, I think you should count. Yeah, I'll start counting.
Okay, one final thing I'd like to talk about before we go to your next song choice is you and I are different generations, right? Yes. You're my mom. You're in your 80s. I'm in my 40s. Have things changed since you were my age? And how do you see my life compared to your life?
My life was different. Women were not supposed to be outspoken. They were not supposed to question. They were supposed to follow traditions. And that's what we did. So if I had to go home and do cooking and all that, that was expected of me. At the age of 7, I started making the evening meal. That was expected. And I did it. But today... Our women will not do anything that they are not happy with, which is good. They'll question. They'll get answers. And they'll do things which are conducive. But this thing about being independent and being, what shall I say? Women these days, they don't want traditions to bind them. But then that is a loss. because traditions are what keep families together. Traditions are what keeps people love one another. And if you eat together, you love one another. Now, women like to have their husbands and their children and live in a nuclear family. Whereas in a joint family, I mean, there are pros and cons for both. But women today are more independent, more advanced, more aggressive, more vibrant. And yes, I think they are on a good path because they still look after their families and their things. But somehow, somewhere something is missing. I don't know. I don't know how to put it.
Okay, but, well, let's go to your next song choice and then we can come back and continue to discuss that, because it's very interesting that you feel on the one hand they're more vibrant, but on the other hand they're suffering a loss. Mm. So you're not quite sure where this stands. So
they have to combine both together and come out victorious in everything.
Okay. All right, so let's look at that in a little bit more detail when we come back. Let's go to your next song choice, Singing in the Rain by Gene Kelly. Why have you chosen that song?
It is such a beautiful song. You know, we guys don't do things. I mean, we don't do things because you are afraid of people looking at you, they are laughing at you. But it is nice to do things for fun. And this song is so much fun. I like dancing. I really love dancing. And you tell me, you start music now and I'll start dancing. But people look at me and say, oh, you are dancing at this age? Ara? What has age to do with enjoyment? What has age to do with walking in the rain? I can't walk in the rain because I catch a cold.
Okay.
But you must do things which make you happy. Don't care for the society. Don't care for your... Do what makes you happy. Walk, jump, sing, pray, shout, cry loudly. If you have to cry, cry loudly. If you have to laugh, laugh loudly. Not hee hee. Ha ha ha.
Okay, you can see that my producer and my assistant in the studio are nodding their heads. Mom is speaking a lot of truths today. Let's go have a listen to Singing in the Rain.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm happy again. Singing and dancing in the rain. Thank you. dancing and singing in the rain.
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. And in the studio today, we have Usha Shah, my mom, who has been controversial from the very beginning, which we absolutely love here on Mindfulness Music and More, because it's nice to get a few different opinions. Mom, you were going to say, we were talking about the difference in generations. And off air, you said that women today can be more selfish.
Yes.
Do you think I'm selfish?
No.
No, that's not what you said off air, Mom. Do you think I'm selfish?
All women are selfish these days because they think of themselves before anybody else.
But after so long, after putting your husband first, your family first, your children first, today women are saying, enough's enough. I need to put myself first so that I can then look after my family. Do you not think that that is true?
I'm not saying no to that. What I'm saying is, being selfish doesn't mean not doing what you should be doing. But these days, women will do what they want to do before, like you said, before anything else. I told you, having a hobby, doing something that you like, going into the rain is not selfish. That is something you should do.
That's self-care.
Me time is very important.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that is not selfish. But when you think about not living with your in-laws or with your parents, and your parents are suffering or in a home, that is being selfish. You know, you're not looking after your duties to your children. You go to the office, come back, and then shout at the children, that's selfish. That kind of selfishness is more prevalent in today's women than before. Mama Boga that I was talking about, most unselfish person. But can you see a young woman today carrying a kiondo of vegetables and going round to sell vegetables? No. Why? Because she wants to look smart. She wants to have a beautiful dress. She's very well kept. That is being selfish.
But Mom, today women still, and I know many women who work, who look after the house, who cook, and they still feel that it's important to look after themselves. So I don't know if that is selfish, because I think it's, they may feel that they don't want to look after in-laws or parents anymore.
Why?
Because they have enough on their plate.
You think I didn't have a lot on my plate?
Did you stay with your in-laws?
Yes. Yes.
And were you happy?
My parents.
And were you happy?
Whether I was happy or not, that is nothing to do with being selfish. I stayed with my in-laws for about 8.5 years. But even when I had a home of my own, I did look after them. I did look after my parents. And I didn't abandon them.
Yeah.
You know, I used to write to my father and my mother who were in England. Every Monday I used to find time to do that. Is that not right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? It is.
But I also found time to do whatever I wanted to do, like dancing. I mean, so what I'm saying is there has to be a balance. Your parents brought you up. Don't you owe them anything? Your in-laws brought your husband up. Don't you owe anything to them? You do. Do you remember that? Do you remember they made you walk the first steps? They fed you the first morsel of food? You've forgotten all that? That is, if you don't do your work as a human being, as a family member, as a daughter, as a son, for your parents, that is selfish.
So, listeners, this is the kind of conversation Mom and I have at the table, the dinner table, the breakfast table, a lot of the time. So I thought it would be great to bring this to you today. But there is one thing that we rarely talk about, because Mom does not like talking about many, many of her accomplishments, one of which was an MBE. by the British government, which she was awarded in 1994. And Mom, I remember you had to go to Buckingham Palace to get your award. Can you tell us briefly what that was like?
You know, first of all, when the British High Commission, Nairobi, called me and said, "Oh, Mrs. Shah, the Queen is very happy to award you MBE." I said, "I don't want it."
Oh.
So she said, "What?" I said, "I don't need MBE and whatever you are talking about." She said, "Please, Mrs. Shah, talk to your family and then let me know. I'll talk. I'll call back in half an hour." She did. By this time, all the family members, "How can you say no? You are motivating people, blah, blah, blah." And then I called her and I said, "Okay, I'll take it." So they invited us to go to the Buckingham Palace. And of course, I was wearing my bright pink sari and with great green border. And Shanti and Amit, both of them had come. They were sitting in the gallery.
Shanti and Amit. Shanti is your husband, was your husband, and Amit your youngest son.
Son, So when I walked into the room, like you made me wait here, I was made to wait there, and I went there and I saw all these other people, and they were wearing black, gray, and here I was wearing bright crimson sari with green, and I said, "Look at all these people, drab, gloomy, glum. Hey, they should have been happy." Anyway, that didn't matter. So then I was asked to go to, then we were in a line, and then we went to into the hall where they, and it was Prince Charles, you know. The Queen had gone to Australia. She couldn't face me, the other Queen. And Prince Charles was there.
He was very lovely though, wasn't he, Mom?
Very nice. And he said, and everybody asked me to courtesy, and I don't know how to courtesy. So I just folded my hand and I said, "Namaste." And he also very graciously, responded in the same, "Mrs. Shah, I'm glad you're come, blah, blah." So then we were told half a minute, but he kept on saying, so I said, "Your Highness, you know, Kenya is a beautiful country. Why don't you come and visit us? Because you're so fond of animals and all that." He started laughing, you know. He said, "Yes, yes, Mrs. Shah, one of these days I will make it, blah, blah, blah." And then I just got this thing. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, your MBE.
Then I walked out. But I felt so happy because I was a ray of green and red color in that hall full of black and gray.
But yes, and imagine his son then came here and proposed to Kate here in Kenya. So your message obviously got to William, Mum. So fantastic. You're the only person I know who's got an MBE. That is quite an achievement, Mum, getting an MBE.
Aye. In those days, MBE was given I don't even know who proposed or whatever. But after this, somebody asked me, "How did you get your MBE?" I said, "I don't know. But British High Commission." So this person approached British High Commission and managed to get
to nominate you. It's quite a difficult process, actually.
So not anymore.
Not anymore. But in those days, 1994. It's not as revered as it used to be. Mm. So, tell me, Mom, how do you look after yourself physically, mentally, spiritually? Because you're in your 80s, and yet you without doubt have more energy than anybody else in this room, and we're all much younger than you. You are so full of life, so full of energy. You rarely fall ill, and touch wood as I say that. So how do you keep so well?
Okay, physically, my intake of food is not much. I don't take any vitamins or calcium or all these things they tell me to take. They give me, I take and give it to somebody else.
Okay.
So I don't take any supplements at all. I sleep well. Whatever the problem is, I can go to bed and I fall asleep and not turn even my side and get up. So enough of sleep. I don't exercise. I hate walking by the day. If I can sit down, I will not stand. If I can stand, I will not walk. If I can walk, I have never run in my life, only once or twice. So I don't do any exercise like that. I don't do yoga. Everybody calls it yoga, but it should be yog. I don't do that. But yeah, of course, I'm in the house and I'm going there. So one of these days, I counted how many steps. And I take about 1,000 steps in the house only. But I don't go out in the sun and stand in the sun. That physically, I think it is more aligned to your mental thing. So mentally, I am fit. I can do crossword. I can do all these things. I can talk to people. I listen to them. I hear them. And that keeps me mentally. I don't do meditation because I'm a very hyper person. And I move around a lot. So I think mentally, I'm very alert. I can see people walking on the road with all their belongings in their bag, and I start crying, really. I see hungry people. I see depressed people. I don't know how to help them. But mentally, I'm looking at them. I look at women going around their things and dancing and, you know, I feel happy. So mentally, I am very, very attuned to the human beings around me. I love people. Whatever caste, whatever color, whatever creed, whatever religion, I love people. And that is what keeps me mentally connected with the people around me. And also, it keeps me mentally attuned to the nature. And you talk about spiritual, I think I'm spiritual because I can talk to plants and trees. And
but you also pray every day. You sit in front of your little temple and pray. What kind of, do you believe in a god or many gods? Because Hinduism suggests many gods.
You see, that is something that is misunderstood.
Okay.
Hinduism believes in one supreme being, Param Atma, Supreme Soul, One. But this Supreme Soul cannot manage to run the whole universe. And therefore, the Supreme Being has got many helpers. Now, if you look at the world, if you look at the nature, if you look at all the animals around us, look at them. They are also beings, they are also souls. And Hinduism believes that all souls are with Param Atma, with the Supreme Soul. So, if I like an elephant, it's a Supreme Soul's being. So, if I bow to an elephant, what's wrong in it? If I give a little milk to a snake, and this is what is different from other religions. In Hindu calendar, there are days which are given to trees.
Yeah.
On that day, you worship the tree and do all that. Now, that is environment. If you give water to every day to the trees, that's environment. A day is given to a snake where you put, if you think there is a snake hole or something, you give water. You worship rats because they know that everything.
Yeah.
So you are telling them to go into your knowledge, get knowledge. So, you know, each elephant, look at elephant. An elephant is a huge animal, yeah? But it is vegetarian.
Mm.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean that. So Hinduism is a very easy religion to understand. Because in that, you can worship and revere anything, anybody, anywhere. And my prayers every day, by the way, I never pray to the Supreme Being to give me what I want. Never. I also don't tell him or her, I like to say her as well, to give peace to the world. Because who am I to tell the Supreme what he should do? He knows it better than I do. So when I sit there and I look at all the, you know, I have got so many, I've got
idols,
all then, even, you know, so I just pray, sit there and I say, Goddess of knowledge, I want to be like you, I want knowledge. Goddess of wealth, Lakshmi, I hope I get money, but in a, not in a corrupt way.
Yeah.
I talk to Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva, he teaches us, he liberates us. I pray to Lord Vishnu, because he maintains, like I maintain, everything. Brahma is the creator. So, you know, Hinduism is it's such a vast understanding of making we, us, human beings, respect all other beings, so non-violence will be there. Even when I see an ant, you know, I will take a piece of paper, take that ant and I put it out. Because that ant is also a being of the Supreme. Non-violence.
Ahimsa, yeah.
Yeah? So, Hinduism says non-violence. Pray. So that's my meditation.
That's your meditation. That's fascinating, Mom. We could talk about this for ages, but let's go to your next song choice first. It's Nanne Mune Bache. Why have you chosen this song?
Okay. This song, in the film, Avara, is sung by the children from the slums. Nanne Mune Bache, teri mutthi mein kya hai? Mutthi mein hai takdeer hamari, humne kismat ko apne liya hai. Okay. A fist. This guy is asking, you little children, very, very simple, innocent ones, what do you have in your fist? And the children are saying, we have our future in our hands. Our future is in our hands. And then he says, what do you see in your eyes? The next line. In our eyes, and this is what is my dream for Kenya. In our eyes, we see a world which is happy. Everyone is happy there, laughing, in spite of whatever they are going through in their lives. Each one is living like a king, because he has shelter, he has food, he has everything that he needs. Now, if you are healthy, you don't need doctors and hospitals, by the way. Sorry, doctors and sorry, hospitals. But that's the song. The song is my dream of a happy, vibrant, proficient, efficient, corruptionless, forward-going, progressive Kenya. Kenya, live long.
Ah, there you go, Mom. Mom's very enthusiastic here. I wish this was TV. I really do. Thanks, Mom. Let's have a listen to this song.
Nanne munne bache teri mutthi mein kya hai? Nanne munne bache teri mutthi mein kya hai?
Mutthi mein hai taqdeer hamari. Mutthi mein hai taqdeer hamari. Humne kismat ko bas mein kiya hai.
भोली भाली मत वाली आंखों में क्या है? भोली भाली मत वाली आंखों में क्या है?
आंखों में झूमे उम्मीदों की दीवानी. आंखों में झूमे उम्मीदों की दीवानी. आने वाली दुनिया का सपना सजा है. आने वाली दुनिया का सपना सजा है.
नन्हे मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है? नन्हे मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है? भीख में में जो मोती मिले लोगे या ना लोगे, जिंदगी के आंसू का बोलो क्या करोगे, भीख में जो मोती मिले लोगे या ना लोगे, जिंदगी के आंसू का बोलो क्या करोगे,
भीख में जो मोती मिले तो भी हम ना लेंगे,
भीख में जो मोती मिले तो भी हम ना लेंगे,
जिंदगी के आंसुओं की माला पहने,
नन्ने मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है, नन्ने मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है, हमसे ना छुपाओ बच्चों हमें तो बताओ, आने वाली दुनिया कैसी होगी समझाओ, हमसे ना छुपाओ बच्चों हमें तो बताओ, आने वाली दुनिया कैसी होगी समझाओ,
आने वाली दुनिया में सबके सर पे ताज होगा,
आने वाली दुनिया में सबके सर पे ताज होगा,
ना भूखों की भीड़ होगी ना दुखों का राज होगा,
ना भूखों की भीड़ होगी ना दुखों का राज होगा,
बदले का जमाना ये सितारों पे लिखा है,
बदले का जमाना ये सितारों पे लिखा है,
नन्ने मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है, नन्ने मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है,
मुट्ठी में है तकदीर हमारी,
मुट्ठी में है तकदीर हमारी,
हमने किस्मत को बस में किया है,
हमने किस्मत को बस में किया है,
नन्ने मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है, नन्ने मुन्ने बच्चे तेरी मुट्ठी में क्या है।
Welcome back to Mindfulness Music and More with me, Shalini Bala Lucas. Mum, before we went on the break, you were talking about Hinduism. And normally we do a meditation at this time, but I'd like you to do a prayer that you perhaps say every day and then translate it for us.
Yes, I can. Om Sarve Sukhina Bhavantu, Sarve Santu Niramaya, सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु न कश्चिद् दुःखभाग् भवेत्। मे एवरी बीइंग इन द वर्ल्ड बी हैप्पी, बी एवरी बीइंग इन दिस वर्ल्ड बी हेल्दी, मे एवरी बीइंग इन दिस वर्ल्ड universe progress well without any feelings of jealousy or envy for anyone. This is a prayer for all beings in the world, human beings, vegetation and so on. And the other prayer that we recite for the peace in the world is so good, because I'll just say it, I'll recite it. Om Dev Shanti Antarikshagam Shanti Prithavi Shanti Rapah Shanti Roshadayah Shanti Vanaspatayah Shanti Vishve Deva Shanti Brahma Shanti Sarvagam Shanti Shanti Reva Shanti Sama Shanti Redhi Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Now this prayer is a peace prayer, and you are not going to believe how enveloping it is to the whole universe. The word Shanti means peace.
Yeah.
And you say it three times at the end, because one peace is for the outside world. So we are saying, please, there may be no storms, floods, fires, etc. The second one is for within ourselves, may peace be physically like that. And the third one is, may we go within to find ourselves. And the prayer says, may there be peace in the skies, on earth, in the universe. May there be peace for those who are angry. May there be peace on vegetation. May there be peace on beings in the ocean. May there be beings in the universe. All the beings, whether they are supernatural or natural or subnatural, in the oceans, on the earth, everywhere, may there be peace.
So it's all encompassing to everybody. It's
That's beautiful. The word I was looking for, encompassing.
All encompassing. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for that, Mom. We're coming towards the end of the show, but there's a quote that you really like by Mahatma Gandhi. It's, be the change you wish to see in the world. Why do you resonate with this particular quote?
Because everybody has to change. If you want me to be happy, you have to be happy, yeah? If I want you to be happy, so I'll smile at you. So whatever you want the world to be, if you are there, one person, then people around you will be like that. And can you imagine the currents going from people to people and making this a happy place?
Okay, so that was why you chose the quote. Very beautiful. Mom, finally, if I were to cast your way to a desert island and you could only take one book with you, what would it be?
Mahabharata is the longest epic in Hinduism, and it shows, you know, it's such a wonderful book because it shows jealousy, love, obedience, all everything. And it also contains the holy book of the Hindus, Gita. And Gita teaches you so much. But the best thing that Gita teaches us is, do your karma, do your deeds without any expectation of return. So if I do something good, I don't expect that person to do good to me. Because all karma, whether good or bad, whether good or evil, will come back to you. So it leaves us no other thing except to be good. But what's good for me may not be good for you.
Yes.
Because a butcher has to kill. And that is his dharma. So he has to do it. And whatever you do, you have to do it to the best of your ability. Best of it. So a guy cannot come and say, oh, I was doing online classes, so I can't concentrate. Rubbish! Do whatever you are doing, whatever. You are a professional, you are a laborer, you are whatever.
Do it
to the best of your ability. And when I see these guys on the road sitting and having a, you know, powwow, and they're not doing their work and they're not filling the potholes correctly,
I get very cross, I know. Okay, so the book Mahabharata will be your book. What about song? Which song would you take?
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be. Now, that is exactly what Gita says. Whatever happens, happens. Good or bad, accept it. Go forward. Don't keep on talking about it. Oh, this happened and that happened. Leave it. It's happened. That's the past. Live in the present. Live in the moment. Don't die every minute saying, oh, if I get COVID, what will happen? If you get COVID, treat it. Take precautions. So that's the best thing I know. Whatever happens, happens, accept it, go forward.
I love that song because I remember you teaching it to me and Shivani, my sister, when we were kids, and we used to sing it all the time as children. I just love that song. And then finally, your luxury item, what would you take?
A telescope.
Okay, why?
I would love to see the stars and the moon and the sun. I would love to see the changing seasons. I would love to see the sky being filled with beautiful colors at sunrise and sunset. And I would love to be one with my island and my universe around me.
Fantastic. What a great reason to take a telescope. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mom, for being here and sharing your wisdom with us. Is there a final message you'd like to share with our listeners today? I know we could have talked on for another hour, but we have really run out of time. So what's your final message?
Please don't give in to hopelessness. There's always hope in the world. Do your work faithfully. Do your work beautifully. You know, if you are making a road, then make the road nice. If you are cooking, cook well. If you are reading, read well. You want to cry? Cry. You want to laugh? Laugh. Be happy every day. Live in the moment. Happily or sadly, whatever.
Okay, thank you so much, Mom. Thank you. To all my listeners, if you or someone you know is struggling with any mental health issues, please do seek professional help, whether that be a counselor or your doctor. And as Mom says, be happy. You can also open up and share your feelings and mental health issues anonymously without fear of judgment on Bonga, www.bonga.or.ke. This is a safe space where you can start the healing process. Please also follow me for more mental health tips, mindfulness meditations, and lots more on my social media at Just Joom. To play out the show, Mom's final song choice, Que Sera Sera. I'm Charlene Bala Lucas. I'm grateful to all of you for your time today. Thank you for listening. And until next week, stay happy, be mindful.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly, que sera, sera, whatever will be. Not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be. Que sera.